Hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoWorldReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castietta, and on this episode, we've got another three podcasts joining me today. First up, Mike Sklenz, who's right beside me.
Howdy ho, Rangeroos.
We are once again recording this in his apartment. Also, all the way from Boulder, Colorado, Jonathan Metz.
Wait, what the hell was that?
That was my call sign.
Duh.
And that last voice you just heard was Stephen Winnie Man Rodriguez, our site director.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
See, mine was way more fun.
It was.
I don't know how to follow that.
Well,
exactly.
How can I top that?
That's why I sabotaged your intro.
Totally. Well, guys, let's go ahead and kick it off to new business. And Johnny, you told me that you have new business, so kick it off.
Yeah, okay, first off, as of yesterday, I have officially beaten Mylon's Secret Castle without cheating.
Hell really? Yes.
You beat Mylon's Secret Castle?
TYP is my witness. He watched me play the second half of the game. Not many people can say that, probably. Probably not many people want to say that, but...
You
yeah.
did it. Congratulations.
Yeah. It only took me 20 years.
Wow, that's a pretty hard game. 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the other thing that I did is I got a preview version of Jam Sessions from Ubisoft. This is the so-called game that turns your DS into an acoustic guitar. And I say so-called because it's not really a game. It's not Guitar Hero. This is more of a tool that will turn you into a real Guitar Hero.
Oh, Johnny, can I interrupt you for just a moment? I remember a couple episodes back we did like a topic for Dream Games, and yours was Wii Theremin Hero.
Yeah.
I saw a video on YouTube of a guy who had hacked his Wiimote to become a theremin.
Oh, you got to send me the link.
Oh, I will. Yeah, it was. I mean, like the second I saw it, I was like, "Holy shit!" Johnny's thing just came through.
We should make the enhanced podcast link.
Yeah,
that,
you got to link that. I want to see what that is too.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
I got to do that.
That's
I got to buy
kids,
an extra
enhanced
remote
podcast for the win.
Okay,
I think it's just one, and he has. I think I'm pretty sure I remember him having it hooked up to like a soundboard and stuff. So
nice.
This was pretty advanced stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, well, anyway, so Jam Sessions is this thing that basically the idea is that you strum up and down on the touchscreen with a stylus, and every time you do that, it sounds like you're strumming on a guitar, and it makes a slightly different sound whether you're going up or down, and the speed that you do it with makes a difference, and the distance that you go across it, the distance you get to the edge of the screen makes a difference. And you can play like really short and staccato style, or you can do it slowly and let it ring out. And you play different chords by holding different directions on the D-pad. And you can also hold L to switch to a different set of chords. So you can have up to 16 chords mapped on there at any one time. And that's as much as just about any song on guitar. So it's interesting. There are a lot of songs built in, and I'm not allowed to talk about the specific songs that are on there right now, but the song selection is really good, actually. I mean, it's not a huge roster, and it may not be complete in the version that I have, but if they announce this same song list for the next Guitar Hero, I'd be pretty happy about it. I'll put it that way. Of course, the actual music of the songs is not in the game. It's just the lyrics and the chord chart. So it teaches you how to play those songs, and the thing is, because it's not really a game, there's no scoring system. It doesn't even force you to play with the correct beat. It doesn't even give you a beat. You control the tempo of the song. You control the direction of your strumming. And in fact, when you get to let's say you're playing a song and there are like 8 bars of the C chord, you don't even have to play all 8 bars. It will show them all on the screen. But if you just feel like skipping that step, you can play the C chord once and then jump to the next chord, and it'll just skip down to that line. So, I mean, it's very much freeform. It really doesn't tell you what to do at all. I mean, it gives you some guidance, but there's really, it's kind of like Animal Crossing. There's not like a point to it. There's no goal exactly except to make music and try to practice so that you can make it sound good. And unlike Guitar Hero, I actually do think this could eventually teach you to play guitar. I mean, the difference between playing Jam Sessions and playing guitar is really all you have to do is learn where to put your fingers for each chord, But Jam Sessions teaches you how to put the chords together and how to play them in a rhythm and how to play and sing at the same time. Because it gives you the words and you just sing it. I mean, it doesn't rate, it doesn't judge your singing or even record it or anything. But
just in case you want to, they're there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really, it's very much a non-game. I mean, there's really nothing game about it, but it is a very cool application. And I should have some kind of preview or impressions or something on the site by the time you hear this.
Sounds good. Cool. Well, I actually have some new business myself. See, I have to go ahead and eat some humble pie. I think it was about 5 or 6 episodes back, Johnny and I talked about Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition being announced, and I gave the game a lot of crap, basically saying that if you've already played Resident Evil 4, that this was pretty useless, and that at $30, it just wasn't worth it. Well, I bought the game today. And I was weak, and it was there, and I had the money in my pocket. So I bought it, and it's great, and I suck.
This is why I can't venture anywhere near an Apple or AT&T store, because I am weak and there's money in my pocket.
And he wants an iPhone.
So bad. Moving on.
Well, yeah, I mean, Wendy, you've been playing Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already 13, 14 hours into it, and mm-hmm. The game is just as incredible and just as amazing as it is when I went through it like 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this game does not look like it's 2.5 years old. This game looks like, you know, it almost looks like an actual Wii game.
Thanks, Captain Sales Pitch.
Well, I mean, I totally agree with that, because I do think that one thing that's definitely suffered is the animation quality. Because something that's really come, really, really, you know, it's become a lot better in the next generation is animation of characters. And Resident Evil 4,
agree with that.
You don't agree? I think that the animations in Resident Evil 4 they really show their age.
No, I don't agree. Because I think everything in that game, when it came out in the game, he was so far ahead of its time. I mean, I just got through the knife fight with Krauser, and I just wanted to get back to that part just because that was, like, the best part of the game for me.
Yeah,
right. Well, and, I mean, I'm definitely not saying that the animations are bad. They're definitely not bad by any means. But I do think that they pale in comparison to something like, say, Twilight Princess.
Gears of War.
Well, yeah, Gears, I mean, of War.
They are a little slow, but, you know, it's been like that in every single Resident Evil game. Might even be like that in Resident Evil 5, just, you know, a little more refined.
I mean, but that minor comment aside, I do think that this is the definitive version of Resident Evil 4. Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
I actually prefer these controls to the original layout, because I actually had my classic controller, and it supports the classic controller if you want to.
And the GameCube controller.
And I tried it, and after trying the new control scheme, I went right back to it. I mean, I didn't want to go back to the old layout.
Yeah, it does make aiming easier, because on the GameCube version, you had to, like, you know, set yourself up to aim, and then you had to move the laser pointer. But on the Wii version, you can just aim where you want to shoot, and the second you hold down the B button to, you know, get in the firing position, your aiming cursor is right there.
It would have been cool if it added strafing, but I don't know.
That
would have broken the game.
Seriously.
The ability to shoot in first person breaks Metal Gear Solid. It makes it makes all the fights way too easy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I actually really like the motion controls too. Like, you know, just swipe the remote for the knife. It's so easy to do.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I like the fact that all its QuickTime events involve the remote. Like, shake the remote to run and stuff instead of just jamming A like you did on the GameCube.
Yeah, and, you know, the running event, it's not shaking it up and down. It's shaking it side to side. It actually makes it a little harder. Wow. So you really got to, like, jam that thing to save your life. And there were a couple times where I was like, oh my god, shake. I really like it. This is definitely the best Wii port so far. Without a question.
Sure. Well, I mean, it was a great game to start with, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Yeah. Right. Guys, it's totally worth it. $30, it's a steal on the Wii. If you're looking for something to play on the Wii, get it, even if you played it on the GameCube. It's so worth it.
Okay. Well, that actually wraps us up for new business. Let's go on to community. First up, our NWR forum hot topic. And last week's question was, is the ESRB effective? Now, we've got two comments here. First, from that guy, who basically is saying that the system does not work because parents are not informed. Now, he gave a much larger post, but that's the gist of it. And do we agree? Do we not think that parents are at all informed, and therefore is the ESRB completely ineffective?
I'm going to have to disagree. I mean, obviously the system works, because there's control on the retail level. Of stores won't sell you a game if you're 15. They won't sell you an M-rated game. And as for whether or not the ratings are getting to the parents, they are doing They are doing a decent job at promoting their ratings. The problem is that they are promoting mostly in the game store, so if the parent doesn't go to the store, they're not even going to know what the ratings mean because the literature is not there. What they need to be doing more of is promoting in like a parent-friendly places, like, I don't know, parent magazines and, you
who
know,
the hell
websites.
Reads parent magazines?
I don't know. probably new parents who probably wouldn't be buying video games for their kids anyway.
If you have
they
a
should
newborn.
Be, well, then they should be, like, doing it in, like Bon Appetit or something, or, you know, like Southern Living, you know, magazines.
How about Newsweek? How about one of those generic news magazines that's written at a sixth grade level?
Yeah.
That's that's what these parents need.
Or, you know, they should be doing the same thing on the web. The problem is that they are focusing heavily. Like, they're teaching gamers about the ratings, but we already know about the ratings. Like, they need to be doing more to teach the parents, but that's not to say it's not working, because there's control on a retail level, and there is knowledge being disseminated out to the public.
If you want to reach stupid parents with your marketing, you know, put it in USA Today and run commercials during According to Jim. There you go.
Very clever. Well, we've got another comment here from Voodoo, who takes a much more moderate view. Basically, he's saying that it's at the end of the day, you need parenting. Parenting will overcome everything else, but you do need an official rating system in place for video games, and the ESRB fulfills that, so there really isn't much of a problem with it.
Well, the only reason there needs to be an official rating system is because there aren't good parents. If everyone was a good parent, rating system would just flat out not need to exist.
Not necessarily, because you don't know what something is. You can't just look at the back of the box and say, "Oh, this game's."
No, but if you were a good parent,
you'd
be doing true research on things that your children were going to be exposed to.
Yes, but one of those things you could be researching is the general amount of content that's in a game. I mean, ESRB ratings are the research.
That's a good point.
I guess I really have problems with rating systems. I believe they're forms of censorship. So
they're only guidelines or suggestions. You only get to the point of censorship when you hit something like, you know, adults only or NC-17, and at that point it probably kind of needs.
It's not
limited
to
a certain audience.
The ESRB that's censoring here. They're just doing the ratings. It's being censored
at the retail and
possibly the government level at some point.
When you rate your game adults only, it's de facto it's been censored because no one will carry it, no one will sell it, no one will let it play on
their
console.
Yeah, but that's not the ESRB's decision.
Well, that's their decision. No, it's not. But
if the rating
system didn't exist, then no one would be able to censor a game based on a rating system.
So what Mike is saying is basically that they are contributing to censorship.
If there were no ratings, then EB would not say we're not allowed to carry this game because there'd be no political hoopla about it because there'd be no rating to be a hoopla about.
That's true, but the industry imposed the ESRB on itself in order to keep the government off their backs.
Right, and that's
because
the
if the ESRB
didn't
exist in the government, then you'd have a situation like you do in England, where the government has a board, and when they decide something is unfit for children, it's literally banned. It's illegal to sell it anywhere.
Yeah,
we don't have
any
anything like that in America, and we don't want it. And that's why the industry pays to have the ESRB do this. I have a lot of problems with the method that the ESRB uses to determine its ratings.
Of course.
But I'm not going to argue with the existence of the ESRB. It needs to be there. It's the lesser of two evils. Basically.
It is, but all I'm arguing is that there's no difference between a government ban and a de facto ban by retail. Banned is banned. It doesn't matter who's doing it.
Banned is banned, but you can't blame. What you're doing is blaming the ESRB for the fact that retail won't carry things with certain ratings. What I'm saying is the ESRB doesn't have anything to do with that. It may be a de facto ban, but that's not the ESRB's fault. And if you wanna lobby Walmart to start carrying AO rated games, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the ESRB's fault that a certain game is rated AO. It's their decision, but it's not their fault. Ultimately, it goes back to the people who created the game.
Yeah, and it's not their fault that certain stores won't sell it and that certain console makers won't allow it on their system.
And it's just not fair. It's like, you know, it's the denial of art to the medium where the consumer wants to buy it, but you know, but you can't because it won't play on your system.
Right, but again, ESRB is not denying anything. It's not their fault. That's all I'm saying, dude.
Yeah.
You can't blame the ESRB for this.
Well, if anything,
there are other
it goes back
to blame.
Yeah, it goes more back to retail, but even more so, whether or not the game was available in retail, it still won't, you know, a game that's rated AO still won't play on Nintendo's system or Sony's system.
Yep.
Actually, it will.
No, Nintendo will not will not certify an adults-only rated game. It's their company policy.
Do they?
Yeah, it's their company policy. It's on their website and everything. Sony's the same
console
way.
Makers.
Yeah, they won't certify it because AOD. It's a political shitstorm waiting to happen if they let it on their system, so they won't do it.
All right.
Yep, it's true. In the case of Leisure Suit Larry, it was actually dumbed down for the console release while it was an AO on the PC.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, but was it mail order only or something? Because most retailers carry games. So
yeah, it was.
I think it was like direct order from the
but at least it's
website.
Available, and you know, if you were so inclined to play it, you would be allowed to.
Right.
The last Leisure Suit Larry game was so bad.
Yeah, Leisure Suit Larry fans, if I remember correctly, they like practically boycotted it because the developer had turned it from like a quirky sort of, you know, raunchy adventure like game in a LucasArts style into like this ridiculous sex fest that had nothing in common with the original series.
It was a bunch of terrible. My roommate had it on PS2. Trust me, it was not a good game. Mm. Not worth the. But that, you know. That's why there wasn't really much hoopla about it at the time. Manhunt. Mm-hmm. The original Manhunt is actually a good game, so I'm told.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I played it. It's good. It's not great. It's very rote, but it's good.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to the ESRB, I mean, it's like Johnny had said, they're the lesser of two evils, and it's better to have them than to have the government imposing their own rules. So, there you are.
Yeah.
All right, and we've got a listener mail question from somebody named Carl, who is not me, actually, but just another person named Carl.
We all know it's you. You're just hiding your ignorance behind the listener mail.
Shut up.
Writing fan letters to himself.
Well, you know, if I don't, who will?
Look at all this stuff. I mean,
good question.
Like, the third paragraph in is just like 40 sentences about how awesome Killer 7 is. It's coincidence?
Yes, it is. Anyway, Carl asks, Dear RFN, my family is redoing our basement, so we recently purchased a Samsung 40-inch widescreen HDTV. However, all my games on the Wii, GameCube, and N64, including Virtual Console games, now look like crap. Also, the sensor bar and pointer are now horribly inaccurate. It is best when I hold the sensor bar in the middle of my TV screen, which I have difficulty doing while playing games. Well, that doesn't sound like much of a stretch. I've heard of special high-definition cables that can improve the graphics of the Wii games, which might help my issues with game graphics on my new TV, but I have no idea what to do about the sensor bar. Do any of you have any suggestions about either of these problems?
All right, well, I'm going to answer his cable question. Yes, special high-definition cables do exist. They're referred to as component video cables. You can get them direct from Nintendo. You can get them a hell of a lot cheaper on sites like Monoprice or Amazon. And they're third-party cables, but cables are cables are cables. It doesn't matter where you get them from.
Don't buy monster cables. Yeah, I don't think there are any for Wii, but don't buy them.
Yeah, $8 cables do the exact same thing as $80 cables.
Yep.
They just do it while looking fancy and not actually offering you any real value. So anyway, yes, these component cables do exist, and you will need them to get high definition. Well, you can't get high definition output out of your Wii. You can get an enhanced definition output, which is referred to as a 480 progressive scan, which will definitely make it look better. I'm not going to go into the differences between interlaced versus progressive, but it will make your games look better. So, you know, go find some of those cables, and I'll let one of the other guys tackle the issues about the sensor bar.
Well, yeah, before that, let me just say that in general, I mean, the component cables will help for sure, and anyone who has a TV with component input should get component cables for their Wii. But if you have a large widescreen HDTV, if it's significantly larger than the TV you had before, I'm assuming it is, your games are going to look worse on it. Sorry.
Especially if you're moving into
especially Wii games, because they're only 480p resolution. They don't go any higher than that, and basically you're looking at the same image that you had before, except now it's blown up larger, and so the pixels are larger.
If you're working on a fixed pixel display, especially like, you know, an LCD or a plasma, it's definitely just not going to look as good flat out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it sucks. I mean, the only way around that is to have a higher resolution video output. Meaning you have either something upscaling the game, and I don't think there's anything that'll do that for Wii games, unless you use like a built-in upscaler in your TV. I don't know how well that would work. Or to get another game system like the 360, which will output at 720p or 1080i or 1080p. So that's your other option.
Additionally,
Wii games just aren't going to look as good on a high definition.
I could also suggest many HDTVs have you can cycle through different display settings, like, you know, zoom or stretch or not, but a lot of TVs have a mode called 1-to-1, which will literally use just the number of pixels that that the system is outputting, in which case for the Wii it would basically be like you'd have a 40-inch screen, but you'd only be using, like, I don't know, like a third of that. Like, you'd have a huge, huge square black border around your game. But it'd be one. But it'd be 1-to-1, and it would look a lot crisper.
It would look crisper.
There'd be
but
no.
It would
the
be
picture
smaller.
Wouldn't be being blown up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the big problems with getting a really large TV is that a lot of stuff looks like crap when you make it larger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it, too bad. I mean, it's a good argument for not getting a really gigantic TV.
Right.
That's all I can say.
But moving back to the sensor bar, Wendy, you had the answer for that, didn't you?
Yeah, the sensor bar, usually the problem you have with the sensor bar, if you need to, you said put the sensor bar closer to the center of the screen, what your problem probably is that if you're in your Wii settings, yeah, there's an option for the sensor bar that tells you whether or not you have your sensor bar above the TV or below the TV. Whenever you have moved it, you might want to have to probably go back and change that setting, because otherwise you're going to have to point your remote like really high above the sensor bar or really low below the sensor bar if you have it backwards. So you might want to go back into your sensor bar settings and see if that setting's correct. And also, I think there are calibration options too.
Yeah, there's a calibration, and additionally, make sure you're telling the Wii that even if you're not using component video cables, you can tell the system that you're outputting to a widescreen display, and that'll also
yes, that
help.
Too.
Right.
Yeah, so if things are looking stretched or squished, that'll fix that.
Yeah.
All right, that actually wraps up for community. So when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about the news. Stay tuned. Alrighty, folks, we're back for the news. First up, Virtual Console Mondays. We've got Super Mario Bros. 2, but it's known in Japan as Doki Doki Panic, and isn't the real Super Mario Bros. 2. So, I mean, the story is that the actual Super Mario Bros. 2 in Japan is basically like a remix of the original, where it's harder levels. I think it's called Super Mario Bros. For Super Players, and it's kind of like a, I wouldn't say a director's cut, but a revamped edition with
it's more like an expansion
levels.
Pack.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, sure.
In America, it's known as the Lost Levels.
Right.
And in Japan, Super Mario Bros. 2 is known as Super Mario Bros. USA.
Right. And it is Doki Doki Panic, which is not directly related to Mario, but it'll do if you like Doki Doki Panic.
Doki Doki Panic was a game that I think Miyamoto worked on it, actually. It was a first-party Nintendo game in Japan. Mm-hmm. It had a whole bunch of new characters. It didn't have anything to do with Mario, but other than the characters not being Mario characters, it was basically the same thing.
There's some improvements for the Mario-ized version of it, though.
Some improvements?
I can't remember specifically, but it's not just a palette swap. There are some other like features and different like design elements and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, It'd be interesting to play the original.
Not a big
I haven't
difference.
Played it.
Right. And next up is Dragon Spirit. And Johnny, I remember you saying you were kind of interested in this game. So
yeah, I downloaded it and played it for about half an hour before the podcast. I played this game on the NES a long time ago, and I liked it on the NES. I think it's okay on TG-16. I would assume that the graphics are a little better on the TurboGrafx version, but they're not all that great. I'm thinking maybe it was a very early TurboGrafx game, but it looks like slightly fancier NES graphics.
Yeah.
And it's a vertical shooter, vertical shmup. The main difference between this and other shmups on the TG-16 is that instead of some kind of spaceship or an underwater submarine, you're controlling a dragon, and you can power up the fire that it shoots out, and you can grow extra heads, and you can also drop bombs on the ground.
How does that work?
It's kind of like Xevious, I guess. You can do that in Xevious, right?
Dragon?
A dragon drop bombs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Xevious was like that, though, wasn't it? You can shoot out at aerial enemies and then drop bombs on the ground, and that's how you get power-ups. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, the last one on our list here is the sequel to Echo the Dolphin on the Genesis, which is Echo the Tides of Time. And I don't remember the first Echo being very well received, so I'm assuming this one will not be much better.
I remember hearing much better things about this one, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so yeah, check our roundup, and maybe
it's
better.
Not impossible.
Yeah, I think that's what the big difference is. It's not impossibly hard.
I might get this, actually, because I really like Echo. I like the character, and I love the atmosphere, the music, and everything. It's very peaceful until you start like trying to progress in the game. And then it makes you want to die.
So yeah, check out our virtual console Mondays roundup at NintendoReport.com, and you will find out if it's any good.
Okay.
Moving on to the real news. WiiWare has been announced. Basically, there will be indie games on the Wii from third parties starting in 2008.
And it's not necessarily all indie games. I'm sure, you know, we'll get stuff from Capcom and etc. Like, a lot of the kind of stuff you'll see on Xbox Live Arcade.
And Nintendo, too, obviously.
And obviously, right. Nintendo will be supporting it with their own efforts.
Correct. Now, my one little problem with this, and I was talking to Mike about this before we started recording, is that I don't see how this is really news. I don't see how any of this is actually new information, because we already knew WiiWare existed. It's been there since the console launched. And there have been several things that have been released via WiiWare, like the internet browser and Everybody Votes. And as far as independent games, Reggie had said multiple times that they were coming.
But they never confirmed it.
Well, yeah, but
it's confirmed, and there's a time frame, and there's like, you know, it's happening, and you know, we're letting third parties on, etc. It's all official. That's the news.
There are a couple of details about the fact that they're not going to put a lot of restrictions on it like there are on XBLA. They don't have to be online. They don't have to use the Wii Remote. They don't have to be high definition. They don't have to be blah, blah, blah. They don't have to have 800 achievement points. So it's going to be a very open system.
Well, one thing that might be a big problem is the space issue. Now, I was listening to the Player One podcast earlier today, and they had a cool idea about this, in that they were thinking that maybe you could actually stream the games via something like you have on GameTap.
I remember talking to this with Dan Dormer, because I used to live with him, and like, he thinks this is the greatest idea ever, and I'm calling him out. This is not going to happen. I mean... No way Nintendo is going to take $5 of your money so they can give you the game as many times as you want and eat up their bandwidth every single time you have to play it. They're going to give it to you for $5, and you're going to download it once and save them bandwidth.
Well, you can already see the interface that these things are going to be downloaded through. It's the same as Virtual Console stuff, except you, instead of Virtual Console, you go to the one on the right that's called WiiWare, and you spend the same Wii points, and you download it, and it takes up space on your system, and you play it when you
There's no need. I don't understand the hoopla about the space issue, because there is no space issue, because the Wii's memory is expandable. And you see, I mean, obviously, everyone seems to not believe it, but we are going to get to a point where they will release a patch that lets you play games off of an SD card. It will happen.
Otherwise, there's no point in having an SD card slot.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at pictures, but who the hell
does
that?
They have partnerships with Panasonic, Matsushita, whatever. And, you know, those guys, look, they can't be selling a whole lot of SD cards to Wii owners right now.
No.
There's no point in buying one, really, unless you like Excite Truck and don't want your ears to bleed. So, the guys that they partnered with to put those slots in there are going to be like, okay, we'd like to sell some of these cards now.
Right.
Do something about it.
Hey, guys, there's one more thing I kind of found curious about this announcement. It was the timing of it. I mean, why not announce this at E3?
Why do it? It's not a big deal, E3? And it'll get lost at E3.
Yeah. This is not a big deal. And the thing is, they probably won't be showing anything on it at E3.
Right.
No,
even.
I don't think they will.
Because if they were going to show WiiWare games at E3, they would have announced WiiWare at E3.
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of announced the Wii name a couple weeks before.
That was purely a damage control issue,
right?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Right. Well, yeah,
they could have something. I'm saying.
Well, moving on to a much more awesome subject, it has been revealed as of today, the day we're recording this, which is Monday. That Smash Brothers will be having a new type of item. It's called Assist Trophies. Basically, it's like a Pokeball, but instead of releasing a Pokemon, it releases a classic Nintendo character.
Nintendomon.
Like,
let me show you them.
My Nintendomon.
Let me show you my assist trophies. My assist trophies, let me show you them.
I hope one of these is like a huge polygonal head of Dr. Kimishima.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Kiwimishima.
You know what?
And he spouts math at you.
Similarly, I would also like to see a giant Andross head float in the background of the level and, like, you know, swipe at you with his hands.
I want Slippy to pop out and start crying. there's so many. This is a really cool idea. There's so many possibilities, and it plays off the fan porn or the fan service of the last game, where you know the really hardcore Nintendo fans really cared about collecting all those trophies because you got to see all these obscure characters.
Yeah, and they really
now they're
cared
actually putting those
like,
in the gameplay.
They cared that characters like Game & Watch and Ice Climbers were in the game because really, like, that there's no way that should have happened. No one knows who they are. But it's gonna, you know, there's definitely the kind of things that'll be relegated to the Nintendomon category. But I think it's just great. They've already announced that the Koopa Troopa, or not the Koopa Troopa, the Hammer Brother is going to be in there, like Chuck Hammers, and the big Nintendog that we saw that basically like paws up on the screen and covers the entire playing field from E3 is going to be an assist trophy. And also they unveiled that Samurai Goro from F-Zero is going to be one, and he's just going to like stand there with his sword and swing it a million times.
Awesome.
So he's finally going to act like a samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After all these years. First
okay,
time
here's
ever.
A question for you guys. Which Nintendo character is going to be the new Goldeen?
Yeah, oh. I was thinking about that earlier, and I couldn't figure it out.
Maybe it's going to be an Excite truck.
Oh, come
no,
on.
That can just like totally mow down everybody. That'd be cool.
Carl's hatred for Excite truck is retarded.
You know what would be really, really cruel? As if that Sonic was in the game, but he was only an assist trophy.
Oh, but they've said that assist trophies are going to be specific Nintendo characters.
Right.
So I think it's going to be relegated to just Nintendo franchises.
Right.
Well, I don't know. You know, now ever since they announced Snake was going to be in the game, all bets are off.
Well, no, but they announced the update on SmashBrothers.com clearly says it will be Nintendo characters.
Well,
but anyway,
know.
I mean, it could happen, but I'm just
saying.
What characters would you guys like to see is what I'm wondering.
Well, we could have a whole feature on that.
We may next week, but...
I would love for a Metroid to pop out and latch onto someone's face.
That's awesome.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'll happen. That'll definitely happen. And just drain all their energy. Well, I guess in this case, it wouldn't drain their energy out, but actually just sit on their face and increase their percentage up at an extremely rapid rate.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be pretty awesome.
I'd like to see Ridley fly in and just, like, you know, mess with things, or Kraid to pop up on the edge of the screen.
Well, there are definitely hundreds and hundreds of possibilities.
Oh yeah,
and we eagerly await to see more, and I'm sure there will be more updates concerning the assist
trophies. This is honestly the biggest update to SmashBrothers.com because it essentially lets them unveil new characters, and that is what I really care about SmashBrothers.com doing. But they're not actually revealing new characters, but they're letting me know what Nintendo stuff is going to be in the game, and not
by E3 next week we're going to know just about everything. I think. Well, most of everything.
I think you're going to
see... All the critical stuff. I think they'll leak the characters a little out of time, but...
Well, next week we'll definitely see, like, these are the characters that you get when you boot the game up the first time.
Well, you know, the secret characters in Melee were secret until maybe a week before the game came out. They did a good job of keeping those secret. We knew what they were. We ran a preview update on the game back in 2001, spoiling all the secret characters, and Nintendo called us and asked us to remove it immediately because we had it about a month early, and you know, we pulled it down respectfully, but we're like, yeah, remember us the next time interviews are going to be assigned.
Well, speaking of Nintendo keeping stuff close to their heart, they're going to be keeping Metroid Prime 3 close to their heart one extra week. Instead of releasing on August 20th, it will now be released on August 27th.
No big deal.
Needed an extra week of polish,
I guess.
And along with this, they announced that the Zelda Phantom Hourglass is going to be coming out in North America on October 1st. That game has been out for about a week in Japan.
Yeah.
And everything I've heard has been glowing.
Yeah, the buzz is incredible. It got supposedly got an excellent score from all the Japanese magazines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Famitsu gave it a 39 out of 40.
Yeah, I think so.
For what that's worth.
Well, speaking of Japan and Wii has been outselling the PS3 6-1 in Japan.
This is not news.
In June, the Wii sold 270,974 units, while the PS3 can only muster up 41,628, which begs the question, when will the PS3 take off anywhere in the world?
You know what? Actually, the ratio has been increasing over the past couple of months.
Yeah.
Like in in April, it was 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
May was 5-1.
And now it's
June
6-1.
Was 6-1.
Yeah, it's a little concerning. I think for for Sony to be floundering at this point?
Well, you know, I think the only place where PS3 is doing well compared to the other systems is Australia. And the weird thing about that is, in Australia, the Wii costs $600, and the PS3 costs like $1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy Aussie bucks.
That's what you get for living in Australia. So,
upside down dollars.
Apparently they don't care.
Apparently not.
Apparently they don't. That actually wraps up for news. When we come back, we're going to be talking about our feature, so stay tuned. Alright folks, and we're back for the feature. It's the E3 preview. Nintendo's going up second of the big three, and they've got a lot of stuff to show off, guys. Now, what do you think is going to be coming as far as surprises? We're just going to go around the room. So, Mike, what do you think they're going to show off as far as new stuff?
New stuff. I think Wii Music will make a return. Obviously, we'll see Mario Galaxy, Smash Brothers. We'll definitely see Metroid Prime 3 because it'll be like less than a
surprises,
month.
Surprises, Mike.
From way.
Surprises, though. Surprises.
Oh, well, we're talking about surprises. God, I don't even know. Nintendo, it seems that this year things are even quieter than usual. I have no clue what's coming. I guess we're going to see Nintendo's going to be done with their big push of, you know, Smash Brothers, Mario and Metroid. I totally blanked there. So I imagine we'll start seeing some of their other, you know, their big guns coming out, which the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Mario Kart.
Disaster Crisis.
We will almost certainly see Mario Kart is my prediction.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And it'll be online on the Wii with support for 4 players locally, and then hopefully all 4 can go online if we're extra super nice.
And perhaps maybe even random matchmaking, not just friend codes maybe?
Well, Mario Kart DS has random matchmaking, so I'm sure we'll see it, you know.
Hopefully.
But it'll probably be, you know, one of those things that you can match with your friends on ridiculous friend code systems, or also play against some guy in Japan who snakes and wins every time.
That's how it goes. But, guys, well, Johnny, what about you? What are you expecting as far as surprises?
For surprise? Well,
he's going to say Metroid 4.
Metroid Dread on DS.
I predict Johnny predicts Metroid 4.
I was going to say Animal Crossing will be there. It's not a huge surprise. We've known for a long time it was coming, but they've never actually shown it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know anything about it. So I think they'll show that, and I also think there is a maybe like a 25% chance they'll show a teaser trailer for a new Zelda on Wii.
That's next year, I think.
No, I don't.
They tend to show Zelda games, the Zelda console games, way before they're released. And
yeah,
Nintendo will definitely want something that will have people talking at the show, something that people didn't already know about.
And people don't talk about Mario Kart.
I think that'll be part of it. I also think at their press conference, you know, you remember last year Nintendo spent a lot of time showing off stuff like Red Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year that will be even more of a thing because Nintendo's concerned about this perception that, you know, there are no good third-party games coming out on Wii and that's going to hurt its long-term viability and stuff like that. So I think they'll want to show... Now, maybe some of the stuff they show we won't be supremely interested in, you know. I hope they don't do another Electroplankton type deal, but I definitely think they'll probably show stuff like Boogie and the new Madden, and they may show Red Steel 2 even.
If it exists.
Well, we know it does.
It's rumored too, but it'll be saying like, yeah, it doesn't exist yet. And we're like, yeah, it does.
Well, I hope they show Red Steel 2 next year and they take a little longer with it, but
yeah.
I think it will be at this E3.
You know, also, I just want to say, I wouldn't be surprised if we see, on the DS front, a sequel to New Super Mario Brothers, because that game sold huge, and there's no way Nintendo forgot that.
Yeah, but
isn't
I'm not
still
sure they'll want to
huge?
Crank out another one so quickly.
It's still selling.
Yeah.
It hasn't died down yet, so I think that they'll probably wait until maybe late 2008, maybe even 2009, before we see another
Super Mario Brothers. Nintendo's going to wait until 50% of Japan has a DS and some New Super Mario Brothers.
Well,
they're getting there.
Super Mario Brothers.
New Super Mario Brothers DOS. Well, so that basically covers our surprises. But what are we looking forward to seeing most? Like, what's our game of the show?
Can we skip Smash Brothers?
Yes, Smash Brothers is off the list because obviously that's what we're all looking forward to the most. So to keep it interesting, besides Smash Brothers, what are you looking forward to seeing, Johnny?
Well, let me go on this one. I actually haven't. It's not really a game I'm looking forward to. I just want to see how Nintendo's going to handle online. Once and for all, and they have to do it at the show, and they're going to do it at the show. They have no other option but to, you know, finally spill the beans on exactly overreaching plan, like how many of their games are online, how many third-party games are going to be online, how they're going to screw up every game by including friend codes in every game, you know, stuff like that. They got to let it know now.
But
you know?
I think that there really isn't going to be much to say. It's going to be exactly like it is now. Just, you know, that's it.
Well, it's been slowly getting better. Like, from game to game, you can see that things are getting better. Like, Metroid Prime Hunters has a friends list, which is, like, a huge step forward.
Yes, but that's DS.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, you know, the system has matured over time. And I think we'll continue to see it mature.
That's just the DS, man. But I'm talking about the Wii. And, like, the number one question is, can they make Smash Brothers work online?
Yeah.
Two players.
God, that's going to be so
lame. Even
if
it's two players, it's acceptable. But it's got to be four. But that's a really lofty goal.
It won't be four.
If it's two, you have to be able to put two computers in there with it.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah, I think that'll be manageable. Or at least more manageable.
I just forgot what I was going to say. Thanks a lot, guys.
Excellent.
Well, that's what we do here at Radio for Nintendo.
What are we looking for?
The question is, what are you looking forward to at E3? Johnny, I was addressing you, so...
Okay, well... part of me wants to say Metroid, but I think because it's coming out so soon after E3, I'm not even sure. Well, I think it will be a big presence at E3, but it won't be like their huge announcement or anything because it's coming out a month later. So, I feel like I don't know enough about Metroid, so I'm definitely looking forward to getting more information. For Smash Brothers, I'm not as excited about learning more about it because I feel like we're kind of very slowly learning more about it already. I mean, we know more about, at this point, we know more about Smash Brothers than we do about Mario or Metroid.
Yeah,
sure. Really. Even though we haven't played it, we know more about it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of, really, my number one is Super Mario Galaxy because, I mean, I don't talk about Mario much, but I'm a really hardcore Mario fiend. And we really don't know very much about Galaxy at all. And what we were shown last year was so tantalizing.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited to learn more about it.
Totally.
So that's probably my number one.
All right, Mike?
I got to agree with Johnny and say Mario is number one because the game is obviously going to be more than Mario traversing a bunch of small asteroids. There will be full planets, and I'm interested to see how that mechanic rolls into the rest of the game.
Okay. And what about you, Wendy?
Yeah, it's going to be Mario because Metroid, like Johnny said, Metroid's coming up right after, and Smash Brothers got the dojo coming, so like Mario is really the only major game we're totally clueless on.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be it, man. And of course, they have their surprises, too.
Right. Well, I mean, besides the obvious No More Heroes, I'm just going to skip over that. Well, I mean, just, you know, because it's obvious, I know. But like, as far as I'm actually interested to see how a lot of the second tier Nintendo franchises are going to be turning out. I'm interested to see Battalion Wars 2. I'm interested in perhaps how, you know, even Disaster Day of Christ. I'm interested to see how that game has matured since we last saw it, or if it's even around.
To see if Project Hammer has been canceled.
I'm also very interested to see if Project Hammer is canceled because I'm signed up for that review and I really want to play it. So I hope.
Just get out of Hammer.
The reason
playing.
No one else signed up for that review is because the rest of us played it, Carl.
Well, you know what? It's a big hammer and you smash up. How bad could it be, really?
If you do that in real life, you break things.
Well, you know what? That's why we play video games, Wendy. So there.
Well, the Wii, you can break things too.
Well, whatever. I'll get a big hammer case and put it on my Wiimote.
I'm interested to see if Wii Music comes along and gets any more robust than just like simple waving your baton and crappy drum game.
Yeah, that and Wii Fitness, I'm actually kind of interested in that too. I'm interested to see how that might turn out.
Those are going to be really important games for Nintendo because a lot of people are realizing that although Wii Sports is still great and it's still fun even right now, the casual, never played games before market, they need more games. Like
more
Wii
non-games,
Sports.
Yeah.
Oh my god, how much of a killer app would Wii Sports 2 Online be?
That could happen. I mean, I think we... You know what? I would honestly probably be more shocked if we didn't see Wii Sports 2 at E3 this year because it just seems like it's obviously the biggest game on the system. It's the one everyone talks about. In some cases, it's synonymous with the system, so why would they not create a sequel to it?
Well, I think they will create a sequel to it, but I think they may hold off on showing Wii Sports 2 until after Wii Fitness comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I really absolutely do not think Wii Sports 2 will be online.
No?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think the online plan and Wii Sports are two separate sides of Nintendo.
So you're saying that because Wii Sports is all about involvement and much about community, that online kind of kills it then?
No, it's not that. It's that the target audience for Wii Sports, online is too complicated.
Well, let me give you this.
I'm serious.
Big
I'm
Brain
serious.
Academy Wii degree supports online leaderboards.
It does.
It
yeah,
may
that's
do
leaderboards.
That.
You're not playing against other people.
Wii Sports, too, may have online leaderboards, but it's not going to have anything where you have to trade friend codes and stuff like that. It's not going to have actual online gameplay. I really, really doubt it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, guys, you know, the thing about a big problem playing Nintendo is, of course, third-party support. So what do you think the third-party support is going to be like at this E3? Do you think it's really going to finally, you know, jump out at everyone now that everyone knows the Wii's a big success?
Yes, yes. It's definitely going to, you know... third parties, they have the year to catch up. The big publishers, EA especially, because I went to their pre-E3 event last month.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some really, really good stuff for the Wii.
Okay.
It's very good second effort. Most of their sports games are going to be online.
Mm-hmm.
And they got some really fun looking, you know, for the other games market too. Like Wii Playground, that game, it's like it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a nice alternative to Wii Sports. And, you know.
You're the first person I've heard be positive about that game.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
From what I played, it wasn't that much, but you know, I had some stupid fun with it.
Right.
I am really looking forward to seeing Square stuff. Dragon Quest Swords, even if it's for babies, as one person said. I actually think that it could be cool, and especially I'm hoping that Square will show something on Crystal Chronicles for Wii.
Yeah, I want to see that.
And the DS version, I feel certain that they will have that. But the Wii version, I'm really intrigued by. The little teaser trailer that they showed at the Square party a couple months ago in Japan looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're really going in quite a different direction from the last Crystal Chronicles game.
You think we'll see Dragon Quest IX?
We got to see it eventually, but
I think it might not show up for TGS.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That may be because you know it'll come out in Japan first. It's mainly for the Japanese market, and they don't really need to show it off really early in order to get the Japanese populace frothing at the mouth for it.
Mm-hmm.
That game has a built-in hype, so
sure
they don't really need to show it.
It's the
early.
iPhone of
it's
video games.
It's like a built-in automatic 4 million seller.
Basically, yeah.
Easily,
especially
yeah.
on the DS now.
Absolutely.
Oh my god. Japan is going to explode. It'll be like a black hole once it's released.
I'm interested in seeing a couple things from Sega, like the Mario and Sonic Olympics game, and certainly Knights too. So there are a couple things over there, and I am actually interested in EA stuff. I was telling my sister today that this year's Madden might be the first Madden game I have ever bought.
Telestrator mode.
I'm
for
that
win.
Interested in it, you know.
The Telestrator, it's so much fun. Seriously, man, they that was awesome. Yeah.
Well, guys, any parting words for E3 before we go?
Keep
wish
listening
me luck.
And yeah, wish Stephen
luck.
He's our main coverage at E3 this year.
Yeah,
he's gonna be running around.
I'm going to run around all Santa Monica, lovely Santa Monica, in, you know, 95-degree
it is,
weather.
Well, you know what? It's much nicer than the crap hole that Los Angeles is, so at least you get that.
Very true.
Yeah, but it's a little further drive for me, I think. Yeah, whatever.
Windy has to use gas.
Oh,
the rest of
us
going to be fun, you know.
There.
It's going
to
be
Windy's
fun
like,
playing
I have to drive
Smash
10
Brothers
miles.
And Metroid, Mario.
Yeah, no complaining from you.
You know, I don't know. It's a tough job running, you know, Nintendo World Report. Somebody's got to do it.
Well, guys, that about wraps it up for us. So be sure to keep your eyes and ears on Nintendo World Report for all the best and latest coverage on E3. Come back when we might be having those reaction shows on the first day of the show. And, yeah, just keep on listening.
Send us your listener mail. Hit us on iTunes and go to Dig.
Yeah, do that stuff. All right, folks. This is Carl Castaneda. Joining me tonight has been Mike Sklenz.
Hey, goodbye, everybody.
Jonathan Metz.
Au revoir.
And Wendy Rodriguez.
Bye.
All right, folks.
Go see Ratatouille.
See you next week.
We're Shields.
apparently we won't care to give us a good way to get to the next segment because
re-record that, please.
That was beautiful.
That was so bad.
8.5.
I couldn't remember how to say the thing.
6.8.
I couldn't remember the word transition. So there you go.
Start over.
Hey Carl.
I feel like I just heard Carrie Strug crash land at the Olympics and watch Bela Lugosi or whatever that guy's name was pick her up and carry her off, and everyone in the audience was crying.
Oh God. Anyway. Let me just clear my throat out a little bit.
Take two.
No, we should leave that in, man.
We'll
stick it at the end.
This is an executive order from your director. You're leaving this in.
Okay, man, sure. Okay, folks, that actually wraps up for the news. So when we come back, we're going to talk about...
What?
I can't talk.
You had it there, too.
I can't.
Carl.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Screw
no,
you.
No, no, dude.
Hey, Carl, you've already said what you need to say. Let's just clap and get on with the next segment.
No, just do the segue, please.
All right, yeah. That actually wraps up for news. So when we come back, we're talking about our feature, so stay tuned.
That was so boring. I like.
You didn't tease the feature even.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about our E3 preview. So shut the fuck up.
That's going to be.
Well, finally we have some outtakes worth including.